This is CliffCentral.com. Revolution.
It's Wednesday and it's the football show. A show about football, love bites, Theo Mojo and Camarade Question in the building. Whoa. Yeah, what up, God? What up, Chris? Chilling like a villain. Yeah, I know. What do you do, huh? Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, can you hear me now?
Okay.
All right. So let's get started.
So, it looks like it's just us two, right?
It would look like
we'll be entertaining. It's gonna be a twosome.
An awesome twosome. Yes.
So, what's up? It looks like Mr. Jesus is unavailable at the moment.
For the moment. Just for the moment.
And the Yellowbone Queen of...
The Yellowbone Queen is actually somewhere mothering someone's child.
Yeah,
her sister's child, by the way, if we're going to be honest. Yeah.
This is quite nice. We love giving back to the community.
Yeah.
We love giving our time to children.
To children?
Yeah. Not Adam Johnson type.
No.
We're not those kind of people.
Nope.
Oh, so should we start off with the intros?
There are no intros today, and I'll tell you why there are no intros.
Why?
Because we are lonely, Theo.
Well, we lonely?
We are lonely people today. We can't be introducing things by ourselves yet. We are lonely.
Okay.
We're lonely guys.
So we will embark on a new, revised, even better football show.
Yes.
With Comma Question and Theo Mojo as your host.
Yes.
I think we should start off with our news and results.
Yeah.
And see where that takes us.
Indeed.
So last night, Champions League football is back. Atletico Madrid plays PSV. Koku set up his team perfectly last night. I mean, they went from a 3-5-2. I mean, they went 0-0 with that Atletico Madrid side.
I don't know if that's useful. They still got out.
True.
Yeah. Can set up your team.
So essentially,
it was
useless. But they went to penalties.
That
one,
is a polite way of saying.
scores a winner.
Yeah.
Atletico Madrid. You know, I was reading a stat. Since Simeone has come to Atletico Madrid, they have played 299 games. And I think they've had 135 clean sheets.
And I was actually looking at them this season. They have got 27 clean sheets out of 42 games or something.
Ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Here it is. Atletico's defensive record under Simeone. Mm-hmm. 239 games,
mm-hmm.
125 clean sheets.
That is ridiculous.
Diego Godin, the linchpin
in
that fucking defensive midfield. At the back there. And I think Simeone can take this team to the semis. City play Simeone, City are out. They're not. I mean, yesterday was probably the worst piece of football we've watched
from
the Champions League. The whole game, 0-0.
Come on.
Another 0-0.
Please, come on.
2-0. Norwich. I mean, you're playing Norwich. Patrick Bamford, ex-Chelsea man, ex-Crystal Palace, ex-Middlesbrough, 21-year-old. You play against young kids and Bokani and the likes, and you can't get a win. I didn't understand. City are failing. City are going to struggle to make the top four this season, don't you think?
All right, cool. Actually, let's get to the Champions League later. Let's start off with the EPL. Arsenal. No, this is not it.
Arsenal. No, the FA Cup.
No, this is not it. The FA Cup. Yeah.
So Arsenal 2-1. 2-1 versus Watford.
1-2.
Yeah, 1-2.
1-2, or whatever that is. Okay.
Where do we start? Where do you know when you when you've got a great meal in front of you, you and you want to dissect it. You don't know where do you start with Arsenal failing again and Twitter meltdown. Arsenal Twitter meltdown. Can we talk about Arsenal Fan TV as well? What is going on?
No, Arsenal.
With fighting.
Arsenal Fan TV, this is what they're there for. Let us not forget. Arsenal Fan TV gained notoriety from that West Ham game, was it last season?
Yeah.
When that fan came out and said, "Prof, what is that? What is it? You know, like, yeah. They're like a tabloid. They're essentially a tabloid.
Yeah. And Claude, if I was an Arsenal fan,
I'd punch that guy.
A kneecap to the face.
Oh, man, I'd punch that guy.
I don't understand. Get fucking real!
Get fucking real!
We're going to win it this year. We're going to win it. Get fucking real! If you haven't seen that, go to YouTube. Go watch Arsenal Fan TV with Claude and T.Y. or Ty. I don't know. The Nigerian guy.
Oh, my God.
Arsenal make me, or they make my tears dry for my eyes.
Do you remember the one where I was about to punch the guy? And you looked at him and
outside, you know, we're sitting here at halftime, they're playing sorry. You know, instead of playing quack, 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 quack. This is Arsenal Fan TV. I don't know if you've seen it. You need to go. If you're an Arsenal fan, if you're a football fan, if you are a fan of comedy, this is Arsenal at its best.
Yeah.
It's a microcosm of the club itself. And I think this last weekend, they were fighting. There was a brawl caught live on Periscope of Arsenal fans fighting each other outside the Emirates.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about that.
Look, here is my opinion about this. I've never been a Wenger out kind of guy.
Mm.
And I still maintain that because I don't think... There's something that you actually retweeted the other day, and you were talking about how there's a deep fear of a post-Ferguson era. I don't think that's entirely true with Arsenal, but I think certain lessons and certain accidents and calamities that were seen at Man United are trying to be avoided at Arsenal.
They can see the mistakes.
Post-Fergie mistakes. And I am pretty sure they know who they want to come after Arsenal.
Really?
Like, I don't think there's any doubt about that, but... The problem is how you manage that transition from a person who has essentially controlled every facet of the playing side of the club from 1996 until today.
Now, yeah.
So I think
he's basically Arsenal.
Yes,
himself.
I mean his name is Arsene. His name is Arsene. So
what do you think?
I think the reactions have been extremely overblown, especially on Twitter. I think the reactions have been overblown. And I mean, I'm always one guy who looks at it from the perspective of we are in this age where we must have definite opinions and, you know, everything that we say today must resonate somewhere.
Feelings,
and I really don't believe that. And I just think Arsene Wenger is a victim of his success. But now he just doesn't seem to be able to motivate the team well enough to do the things that they need to do. I mean, this was our title to lose this season.
And honestly, how many times have I said that in December? We've done that spectacularly. Arsenal, it was their title to lose.
Yeah, and we've done that spectacularly.
And they have. It was a capitulation
of Shakespearean proportions.
It
has been.
The Titanic is. I mean, you can see how. I don't get it. Even this two. That Guedora, the Algerian, that hit the Thunder Bastard.
The Thunder Bastard of the weekend. But that comes from... Mesut Ozil loses the ball in midfield. Francis Coquelin and Gabriel double-team the one guy in the box. And you
double
leave that...
Teaming.
Yeah. Well, not sexual. But they double-team the one guy in the box. And you leave all that space. You can't afford to give
up
all
that
space.
You can't give that much
space. And expect to go unpunished. And we got punished.
And I don't think they thought he could do it. I don't think they had that. They thought he had that in his locker.
The audacity.
The man went in there. He said, you know what? I've been on the bench for quite a long time. I think he hasn't played for quite a bit.
Yeah.
He came on there and he stunned. I mean, Kike Flores, Sanchez has done well with this team. But even Ighalo bossed Gabriel.
Yeah.
Even for that first goal, backed up, got the ball in, turned, bang.
Yeah.
Where do you see the improvements? Where do you see the way forward? And is Wenger, is it time? I know you're not a Wenger out guy.
Yeah.
What happens now? You're at this precipice at this moment in time. It's a crucial time now. The board, the club can make massive decisions now that can affect Arsenal for the next few years. Or do they stick?
Okay, so apparently we have won... how many is it? It's two games in our last 14.
Two in your last 14?
Yes. Two games in the last 14 games. One of those games is against lower league opposition.
You played Hull City.
Yeah, we played Hull City.
Where?
And the other one was, what's that, Leicester City, the 2-1. And I mean, looking at that, you have to ask yourself whether the manager still has the capability and the capacity to motivate his players. You're not talking about a squad of Danielson and Niklas Bentner. Mm. This is a squad that has Alexis Sanchez.
Mesut Ozil.
You know, Theo Walcott, when he decides he wants to play.
Giroud.
Lorien Koscielny is a quality defender. Peter Cech
at the back.
And you've got a great spine in that team. Yeah. But it just seems as if somewhere, somehow, it's not working out for Wenger.
I was listening to Craig Burley. He was talking about how the manager has the duty to go out and instill his tactics, his philosophy, his teachings, and what they've trained in training the whole week onto that pitch.
Yeah.
It seems somehow it's getting lost.
No, definitely.
It seems somehow it's getting lost from Wenger to his players, to their performances on the pitch. And where and what is it? Has he, is it, are the ideas, you know, what happens? What is happening?
If you look at how we played on Saturday, it's so disjointed. You can see that these guys are...
No fluidity.
There's no fluidity. Danny Welbeck misses an open goal.
Jeez. he got one back at the end.
He scored before that miss. Remember?
That was the sitter he missed.
Yeah, he missed a sitter. Like, he could have just... It was... If you were in a brothel and you had to throw a condom and look to hit a prostitute, it was easier to hit a prostitute in a brothel than to miss that goal. I'm telling you. But Danny Welbeck managed to do that, and I can't believe it. But look, he has actually been... one of our informed strikers. When he comes on, he does score.
It's weird. What if he had stayed fit?
Exactly,
what if he had stayed fit?
Yeah. What do you do?
And so now, what's the way forward? What happens now?
I think the team has to regroup. They have to come back together and decide. And I think refocus on what the objectives of the season are. It just seems we're playing for the sake of playing.
You're just waiting till the
this
end
is
of the season.
First time in the Wenger era that I've seen a team playing with no identity. I guess post Danielson, what's that guy? Eduardo's leg break. Because this is the same run of form that happened back
when,
then.
When what's his name was crying on the pitch and he walked off.
Yeah. Not Saul Campbell. William Gallas. Yes. This is our worst run of form since then, where you have two wins in 14 games is ludicrous for a team that is supposedly challenging the title.
And playing Barcelona today.
And playing Barcelona today in the Champions League, who just spanked Getafe 6-0. Basically, it was over in the first half, 4-0.
But it is La Liga, so we'll give that a pass.
We'll give that a pass, yeah.
2-0, Everton, Chelsea. Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah, no.
22 years of age, built like LeBron James. 10.2 seconds to run the 100 meters or something.
Really?
You know, okay, it's like 11. But he's quick. The boy is built like a brick shit house, and he bullied Azor Poqueta.
Like a brick shit house.
Gary Cahill. For that first goal, I don't think, you know, you're sitting there, you're watching this. You're like, okay, cool. Like, he's gone past one. Okay, two.
Yeah.
Clear the ball, guys. Oh my God, clear the fucking... He bullied them out the way, and I think he had something to say. He had a point to prove against Chelsea.
Against Chelsea, obviously.
I've never seen him play this well. I mean, he's played so well. He's reached 100 goals for Everton, I think, already.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he's ready. This is Lukaku ready to step up to the Premiership, to the top four side, or I guess the traditional top four side.
Yeah.
And go into the Champions League. This is him. This is if he gets a side that can give him the balls he wants, he can utilize him as
he's
the focal
everything.
Point
as
up front.
As an attacking player, he's got everything.
He's got the
pace,
technique,
he's
got
the power,
physicality,
all
bullies
that, so.
Defenders.
Yeah.
I just don't see how Mourinho let this guy go. And I think that's a big problem with why this whole, you know, who takes over after LVG. If it is Mourinho, he doesn't give youth a chance, which is what United has been built on. And hence, look at De Bruyne. You look at Lukaku as an example.
Yeah.
He doesn't give them a chance. And Lukaku is flourishing. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And now Everton playing Reading. I mean, Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace, actually. Who are actually playing well.
They're playing...
In the cup.
Did well. They played Reading on Friday night.
Yeah, it was
night,
2-0.
And Adebayo's back.
Adebayo is back. However, I want to ask you. Is it because of Yannick Bolasie's return that we're seeing...
I think so.
That we're seeing Crystal Palace...
The resurgence of Palace.
Yeah.
Right?
Is it a coincidence that, you know, Yannick Bolasie is now back and...
I think it's a number of things. You know, they hadn't scored in a long time since Bolasie had been out.
Yeah.
But now they've got Zaha coming in on the right
yeah.
or left. Bolasie on the other wing and Adebayo up front. A striker who you put the ball in, the guy's going to give you goals. He's a banker. He's the banker in the box.
He's a banker in the box.
He know that he's going to score you goals. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Scott Dan at the back, who's played
who has a knack of scoring goals as well as a centre back.
So you've got that. You've got Kabai. They've got a spine in that team as well. Who, I mean, you think to yourself, Palace, before Pardew came in there, Pulis was there. You thought to yourself, you know, they may be, you know, lower to mid-table. But now, I mean, look, Palace, we thought they would be maybe a top six side. They have fallen off because of, you know, Bolasie's injury, but they've brought in Adebayo now and they're making a push for, you know, top eight. I think they can do it. I think they've got the charm, they've got the manager, and this masterstroke of signing Adebayo in January.
In January, that's a masterstroke.
Was brilliant. That's a great manager.
From Mabank Brak. Football show should see at midday today. Make it special. It's my birthday. Happy birthday,
Mam Brank.
Mtuza, Pram Tu. Happy birthday. Have a good day. And we've got another one from Lionel, the great one. It says, the moment you realize it's Wednesday and it's about time to be time.
Yes.
For the football show, CC. Tune in at 1200 hours, cliffcentral.com. Thank you, Lionel. We love you too. And obviously, Tswani, she says, football show, CC time, smiley face. Mark Mapori says, football show CC, not safe for work, but five mixtape shows can't be missed.
It's not safe for work.
We are totally safe for work.
Come on, man. You can let your kids listen to it. Okay, right, not all your kids.
Man United won, West Ham won.
Oh, another.
In the FA Cup still, yeah.
I think this was just another, we were lucky to get away with a draw. United were another appalling performance.
Yeah, not
true. Mario Anfeleni is possibly the worst football player to ever register on the FIFA database. Yeah. He embodies disappointment. You know when your parents are expecting you to do something amazing, expecting you to become a doctor you know, to be some world-class lawyer or something.
Yeah.
But you go and decide to be an artist.
Yeah.
So you go and spend their money on something useless. That is the embodiment. Their feelings. That is the embodiment of Mario Anfeleni. He has been nothing more than a disaster. And how Van Gaal keeps playing him is beyond me. I think he's actually now just trying to troll all United fans. Yesterday, I mean, he had like five interceptions. I mean, he got his balls intercepted.
His balls?
Yeah. The toilet brush in midfield. He did nothing. I don't know what he brings. That's my biggest. What do you tell him to be? He's not there to give stability in the midfield.
Yeah.
He's not passing the ball. He doesn't bring anything there. And he's trying to break up play. He's picking up yellow cards.
But is it a matter of his style of play not being suited to the kind of brand that is the Man United football brand?
It's not. And the problem is, right, when we were in the David Moyes era, he came in there, he had a big reputation at Everton. And, you know, at the Moyes era, we were doing terribly, even worse than now. Yeah. And we thought, you know what, this guy can possibly do better next season. Yeah. Now he has come here, he is shocking. He's been nothing more than, you know, the worst player United have seen, I don't think, in a long time. Since Eric Jemba-Jemba, I'd say.
Eric Jemba-Jemba was better than Kleberson.
Kleberson won the World Cup. Oh, right? Man. Kleberson won the World Cup. Jemba-Jemba, so good they named him twice. Was one of the worst African players to ever grace the Premier League. And I think when we brought in Schweinsteiger, he brought in some stability in that midfield. Him and Schneiderlin. But when you have the Belgian Jemba-Jemba in there, you just don't get anything but just, he's a mess.
Okay.
So I think when we line up against Liverpool on Thursday, Schweinsteiger in midfield, Schneiderlin in midfield, Herrera playing in the hole, then you have Rashford, you have Martial, and then I play Depay up front.
Okay.
I play Lingard, comes off, and United could possibly, we have to go guns blazing.
Okay. So we've spoken about United. What about West Ham? What a season they're having.
I mean,
they are now 3 points off Arsenal in third.
True.
In the league.
Slaven Bilic. And another big thing. You know, this is what Gold was talking about, this chairman of West Ham. He was saying David last Gold, season why they let Sam Allardyce go. Basically, before his last game, they said because they wanted a new brand of football. And you don't associate sexy, free-flowing, technically gifted football from West Ham. But the Hammers have gone in and brought in Slaven Bilic, who has been magnificent. They've gone and who's that? Lorenzi in midfield. They've got Kouyaté in midfield.
Lanzini. Yeah.
They've got Michael Antonio, who has been, I think he has at Sheffield United last season. A young English lad. He's been playing. He's got 4 or 5 goals in his last 4 games or something.
Yeah.
He's been magnificent. And how they've done so well with the key signing has been Payet.
Yeah, Dimitri Payet has been a really...
Payet, even Victor Moses, I mean, comes in there, you know, with bits of... But West Ham have been so... have exploded into the Premiership side this season, and they have been amazing. And I don't know what you... I mean, you saw them playing this weekend.
Well, I just still think this is a very mediocre Premier League season.
Do you think so?
I really think it's a mediocre.
No one wants to take it. Did someone piss in the Premiership Cup? No one wants to take it.
Speaking of pissing in cups, did you see those MK Dons players?
Yes. The Cheltenham guys. What the?
It's MK Dons.
Was it MK Dons?
It's MK Dons.
Guy Carruthers is being investigated
for pissing in a cup. Anyway, not in a good way. There are good ways to piss in a cup, but not in a good way. Let's move on to the Premier League. Leicester City 1, Newcastle 0. I want to talk about two things. Firstly, Rafa Benitez. And then we can get to Leicester City's...
the fat Spanish
juggernaut. And it's not going back. But from a Newcastle perspective, yes, they lost. We didn't really expect them to win against Leicester City anyway. Really. But the appointment of Rafa Benitez as the new manager, what does that say about their ambition and about the man himself? What's going on there?
My thing is, they did stats, right? There's only 11% chance of a team surviving bringing in a manager this late into the season.
Yeah,
they tried it with Shearer before. They flopped.
They went down. Yeah.
Now they're bringing in the fat Spanish waiter, Rafa Benitez, to try and save a team that I don't see. If you brought in bloody Pep Guardiola, he's not going to do it. But what are they thinking? What does Newcastle do from here? They've brought in Andros Townsend. They've brought in Jonjo Shelvey.
For big money.
Yeah. And he's done a
I mean, there was a bit of a resurgence when those guys came in, when Townsend and...
And Wijnaldum was playing out of his boots. Mm. But the rest of the players, guys like Mitrovic, you know, they're not pulling their weight. They've been in there the whole season. He scored, like, I think, 5 goals.
Yeah. As a striker, he's really not pulling his weight. But from a Newcastle perspective, I want to know, how does that work? How do you... He must be on phenomenal wages. Him to come from Real Madrid... Newcastle.
He was at home sitting sunbathing,
twiddling his thumbs.
Yeah, eating his wife feeding weight. Him.
Yeah, lots of, trying to lose Mourinho weight. Says. You know, taking Jose Mourinho's advice. But how do you? He's gonna be in the championship with these guys next season. But I mean, look, that may be a bit hyperbolic, but they are 1 point off Sunderland, who are in 17.
And this weekend's the Tynwere Derby. Yeah. Newcastle play Sunderland, so that's a 6-pointer.
Why do they always change managers close to the Tynwere
Derby? I know. What are they doing? Remember they got in Gus Poyet before that. They got in Paolo Di Canio before that.
Why do we all have...
What is going on at Newcastle? What? The Geordies are going mad.
All right. That's enough about Newcastle. Now to Leicester City. These guys are now... Well, at the time they were 5 points clear of Tottenham, who were in second.
Yeah.
But now the gap is back again to 3 points. But I mean... These are just guys grinding out the results. Jesus. They are not.
They're not playing the best of football.
They're like Lance Armstrong after he lost his first testicle and came back doping. Leicester City are doping.
There's something there.
There is doping.
We have to put it down to. I don't even know what.
Let's investigate Leicester City. Too much doping.
We're actually going to call WADA.
We're going to call WADA. And can all the Leicester City players piss in cups? Jamie Vardy has got a 9.2 second 10,000 meter sprint in the 90th minute.
And he keeps wearing like a cast on his arm. What is in there? Is it an intravenous drip into his bloodstream? Leicester City, with all due respect, this team has gone beyond anyone's expectations.
But this is... Look,
5,000 to 1 at the beginning of the season.
Like my cynicism coming through here. How do you come from 12 months ago? You are relegation candidates. Like, not 20, even a joke.
Same time, yeah, 25 games. Yes. They were relegation candidates.
Prime relegation candidates. They were going down. So how does Claudio Ranieri come and do what Nigel Pearson failed to do with essentially the same playing staff, and then now challenge for the Premiership and have a 5-point cushion? How? In what universe?
Think about this as well.
No.
It's not that different to this team. And Ranieri himself.
Yeah.
T- 10 managerial jobs in 8 years, right? He coached Greece when they lost to the Faroe Islands. Okay, he coached Monaco.
they lost
to the Faroe Islands. Yeah. I think there's like 1,000 people at the Faroe Islands.
Yeah.
And he coached Monaco. He was a flop.
Yeah.
And now he comes to Leicester City. And he was the bookies' favorite to get the sack.
Yeah.
They saw this Vardy.
Like, what can he do?
What can he do that Nigel Pearson couldn't do?
And I mean, and there was also talk about him, how he's never been in a relegation battle. So yeah. People were saying he's going to fail at that anyway.
And somehow, we don't know. Maybe, you know what I bring it down to? It's those 12 Thai Sangomas. The Sangomas brought in by the King Power authorities to bless, or I don't know what, put the spell on Leicester City. That is essentially their doping. I think that can be homeopathic.
Look, we spoke about it last week. They have three tough games left. Man United. They have West Ham somewhere.
Do they have a Spurs?
No, they don't have a Spurs anymore. They have a tricky encounter against Swansea or Southampton. They still have Southampton. Mm. So Southampton, United, City. But the United and Chelsea, actually, they still have Chelsea on the last day of the season, I suspect.
Chelsea play, I think they must be. Yeah, because I know United play West Ham on the last day of the season.
Yeah, so they could conceivably have the season sewn up by then. It's not, out of the realm of possibility. They could have the season sewn up by then.
Also, think about this. Leicester can afford to fuck up. Leicester can afford to go and draw one game and possibly lose another, because we're not sure that everyone else below them is going to be winning every
game. Look, I think Spurs can do it. I think Spurs can win every
game. Do you think Spurs can?
Spurs can mount it. Look, we can talk about maybe they get weary with their high-pressing, high-tempo game, but I really think Spurs have got the hunger, and they've got there's a certain togetherness you can feel in that team that you can't see at Arsenal, for example. And those guys look like they want to fight for each other. I do not know what has happened in that dressing room.
It's the sum of the parts. When you talk about there are no individuals.
Yeah.
First in the first few months of the season, we saw Mahrez, Vardy, obviously.
Yeah.
But now it's a collective.
It's a collective effort.
Of doping. Where they brought in yesterday, they brought in Schlupp, I think, for Mahrez. Yeah. Same tempo.
Yeah.
Coming in there, closing guys down. And N'Golo Kante has to be player of the season.
No, I think it's going to be tough to rule out Mahrez as a player of the season. It's going to be very tough. It's a tough battle for anyone to say that Mahrez is
Mahrez? Mahrez, and Mahrez, Kante, mm-hmm. Vardy.
Yeah.
Payet. They have to be. And young player of the season?
The Ozil of the first half of the season. Young player of the season, I would put Dele Alli.
Dele Alli, yeah.
Yeah.
Dele Alli, who's a contender? Him?
Dele Alli.
Is Butland.
Harry Kane is still a young player, conceivably. Yeah. He can,
Butland?
Butland, maybe. But yeah, no, look, it's a tough one.
So those three, yeah?
Yeah. Let's move on to, what are the games that we have this weekend in the Premier League?
Norwich City, no.
No one cares, no one cares. Spurs, we've talking about Spurs and Aston Villa.
Yeah, Villa are down. They're gone.
They're gone.
So the Villa fans had a big learner out sign.
Yeah.
And they brought in the stewards. They were basically fighting between the stewards to take it down. Mm-hmm. They revealed another one across the stands.
Another one.
They're like, fuck you, Randy Lerner. And I think Villa have to come to terms with life in the championship now. But I don't see how Jordan Ayew, who's just come from Marseille, is going to be playing at the Amex Stadium against Reading on weekends. They're going to have to find players. There's going to be a massive exit.
Yeah.
So I don't know what next for Villa, but they're done. They're gone.
All right, cool. Let's go into the Champions League. Was it last night?
Yeah.
Yes, the penalties. Yes, Atletico. We spoke about Atletico already. Then
and
there was
City versus Dynamo.
City
Kiev.
Versus Dynamo Kiev.
Terrible game.
But what was the hype around that guy, the Russian striker Yarmolenko?
Remember how much everyone was hyping him? He's supposed to go to Liverpool.
He is super shit.
There's a guy actually who was playing for Kiev, Konar Palanka.
Yeah,
he's playing at Sevilla now.
He's good though. He's brilliant.
Brilliant.
He's brilliant.
And he was never in the same breath. I don't know why they never. And Yarmolenko was
is
the star.
Languid and horrible, and just has a dirty beard. And he's also a ginger.
He's a ginger. And you wonder, like, I mean, City, right? Company's out.
He
pulls up in the first 20
first
minutes.
First 5 minutes.
Was it?
The first 5 minutes.
He pulls up, he's gone. So that means it's another recurring injury of his, and I think his days are numbered.
Yeah.
His days are
numbered. They said this is the 14th calf injury he's had in his career at Man City. He's reaching Abu Dhabi levels. He's about to become
one
vicious Abu Dhabi.
One more season, I think he has to call it time. And then you look at Otamendi. Otamendi as well, he's gone. So they've got Mangala and
Demichelis.
Demichelis against Rashford. Okay, well, it's Rashford and Depay and possibly Lingard. So City are also struggling. They're struggling there, and I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay, look, he's 29. He's 29 years old.
As a defender,
that's a long time for you. Still has another 6 years at the top.
Let's say, give or take, he's got 6 years at the top. But yeah, this injury is recurring. They probably have the best doctors in the Premiership.
Yeah.
What happens now? Do you, as City, go out and buy a big play? You go out and buy Diego Godin. You go out and buy a Hummels. Or do you go out and buy
Emerick Laporte.
Laporte at Athletic Bilbao. Yeah. Do you keep your faith in 29-year-old, hamstring prone,
calf, everything prone.
The man who's got the biggest forehead in the history of Premiership football,
of all time.
He looks like he's got a butt growing out of his head.
If he were a yellow bone, he'd be stealing souls.
Essentially,
yeah, essentially.
I don't know whether City stick or do they sell him.
No, I think he's had a rough time. I think. And City haven't had people to deputize for him properly.
Yeah, true.
I think the gulf in class between Kompany and
Otamendi.
And then Mangala and Di Michaelis is a bit, it's too wide.
You remember they had Savage?
Yeah.
They had another guy who's playing.
What's his name?
The Serbian guy who's playing at Atletico Madrid now. Savage, what is his name? It's a
Nastasic.
Nastasic.
Thank you, Duncan. Thank you very much.
Nastasic, that's it. And but City have problems.
And Nastasic was beasting that season. They won the
league. Yeah.
He was beasting.
And then he got sold. Yeah. Just got chucked out.
Yeah.
But now Otamendi looks like...
Nastasic was like a Koscielny light. He was very... Koscielny light. A very good player.
You know players who... You know, I love defenders who can play the ball off from the back.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on from that. Tonight we have got Barcelona and Arsenal in the Champions League, as well as Bayern FC and Juventus.
It's going to be a cracker.
Bayern is already 2-2 against Juventus away from home at the old lady's house. Mm. And then Arsenal obviously lost 2-0 at the Emirates and are heading into the cauldron of noise. That is the Camp Nou.
98,000-seater.
Yes.
Barcelona on the Champions League night. This is where you earn your money.
This is
where you earn your money as a player. You go out there, you give everything. You leave your blood, sweat, and tears on that pitch. And I want to see you coming back here without... You know, you covered in just grass. Because I just want to see... Arsenal need to go out there and do what they've done to United at the Emirates.
Is this the time of the big miracle?
What do you have to lose? Go out there and show them that you can play football. Show some identity. Show some bottle.
Go get it!
I just want to see this Barcelona side being beaten, as much as I hate Arsenal myself. But I'd rather see the underdog coming through once again. But I just don't see it. It seems like... I mean, Barcelona don't have any... they've got everyone fit.
MSN is fit. From Tony. She says, laughing my ass off, which we will assume is beautiful and bounteous and whatever. We went from Champions League relegation candidates. We swapped lives with Leicester. She's talking about Chelsea, obviously. She's a Chelsea fan. Yeah. And then Mark Mulberry says, Rafa saving Newcastle is as impossible as stopping Messi from evading taxes.
Oh my God. Thank you very much.
Bars. Well done.
I think we have to put Barcelona in...
It's more than a club.
It's
tax
more than
evading,
a...
doping, everything. It's more than a club.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a
child labor. Remember this? Child labor.
Yes. Halilovic.
Yes.
Halilovic transfer. There we go.
Kids. Barcelona, child labor.
Transfer dealings. What else?
Doping, tax evasion. More than a club,
I wouldn't be surprised if their kits are being sewn by 11-year-old North Koreans in some factory somewhere. But that's still to be investigated. And we will do thorough research.
Meske
on club, my foot.
Now, let us... This is the question I've been asking people who have not seemed to be able to tell me anything. What has Luis Enrique done that is different from what Pep Guardiola was doing in Barcelona?
How many games now?
Is it what 35
33 games or something
unbeaten? And Pep has never done this. I mean, even at his pomp, Barcelona were not playing as well as they are now. Granted, they didn't have Messi, Neymar and Suarez as their front three, but they still had quality players.
David Villa, Messi,
and Thierry Henry.
And Henry.
Yeah.
I think they had Zlatan.
I mean,
does this expose Guardiola for
Luis Enrique?
Because you bring in Guardiola to this side that's essentially full of match winners.
Yeah,
he does.
They've won the Champions League 2 years before you.
he does, the, I guess, the bare minimum which is required at Barcelona.
Yeah.
Which they didn't do too well. Now, Luis Enrique comes in from Celta Vigo.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in there. They have a shit season, first half of the season, mm-hmm. last season. They kick it up a notch and they win the treble.
They win the treble.
This season, they're, if not better than last season. Yeah. How do you motivate a team that's gone and won everything?
Yeah.
They've won 5 trophies now, counting the Club World Cup, yeah. and the Copa, I don't know what it is. King's Cup.
Yeah.
And so what happened? What, I think that speaks to a manager. He goes in there, he motivates those players. Even you can't motivate a player who's won everything. Gerard Piqué, a Messi.
Funny
what
enough,
you
speak
do?
Of Gerard Piqué. I saw an interview of him yesterday, and he was talking about the pressure of being at Barcelona. So,
oh, really?
So in his mind as a player, it's not just about going to win the, like, you know, we will win the next game.
It's we're going to win everything.
We're going to win everything. And you're saying that is the pressure.
Well as well.
That is the pressure of being a player for Barcelona. And it's not about Messi. He says Messi will always be Messi. But you need to decide for yourself in this team.
What's going
to
happen?
What am I going to be doing to stay in this team? Because there's a guy at La Masia, a little kid that was bought fraudulently and they're doping, who can come in and perform. Like, look at over the weekend, El Haddadi.
Oh. He's Egyptian born.
He's Egyptian born, yeah. One of those places.
He's come in there. And that guy, seamlessly, he comes in there and he's been... I remember that Cuenca. Remember Cuenca?
Yes,
who, tall, lanky looking.
Then there's Sergi Sampa. There's a lot of guys.
Brother. Yeah. They are kids ready to come in there. The transition from the current team to young fledglings is seamless. Mm. It is seamless. And I just think... Barcelona are, you know what, as much as we could doubt their failings, they are a club that everyone should build their club around.
More than a club. We've got a tweet from False Alarm, your namesake, Theo is my name. She says, absolutely nothing. I believe Luis Enrique is just a brilliant manager when it comes to managing players. Well, look, I think I can agree with you there. And he says further, he just added Suarez and Neymar to Messi's match-winning sauce.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, in that sense, you get Rafa Benitez to coach that side. Do you think? I don't think anyone wants to play for Benitez. No one wants to play for you. You can't just get another manager. You can't get Nigel Pearson to coach Barcelona. They're not gonna win the treble. But somehow, Enrique, first of all, he knows the egos in the dressing room.
Yeah.
After that match against when they lost to David Moyes,
yeah.
the lowest point in Barcelona's history.
That last February,
when they had that meeting, supposedly, when Messi was benched. And they had a meeting, and he knew how to navigate around the egos in the dressing room. The Suarez, the Neymar, the Messi, to keep them happy, to keep the team ticking. And that means a manager who's got that emotional intelligence and the motivation to get the players to rally
the
around the course.
Well, to say,
look, I am just a lowly ex-Barcelona player. I've probably got the technical ability, but you guys have to execute it on the pitch. And he has gone out and done that.
Okay, so I was going to say, I just feel maybe from a tactical perspective, you'll probably find that Barcelona are more direct now. You know, they don't have the stale position that used to have under Guardiola's team.
The so-called tiki-taka, which Guardiola doesn't like calling tiki-taka.
Yeah, I mean, it was so
possession,
boring
football,
at times, but Barca team can break on you in an instant. It's like, I was going to say penetrative, but that's just...
you look at the goal they scored at Arsenal.
Against Arsenal, yeah.
That first goal.
The first
Suarez,
goal.
Suarez, I think, had 3 players around him. One touch, 2 touches, gone. Art on his feet. Neymar making run. Messi is on the right channel. Yeah. And their counter, it is phenomenal.
Yeah, I know, true.
So what do you think?
I think it's going to be 3-1 to Barcelona tonight. Mm. That will make it 5-1 on aggregate.
Who's going to score for Arsenal? Danny Welbeck.
Danny Welbeck. Who else? Or Lauren Koscielny, a header from a set piece. I do not expect anything from this game. I've just...
Jeez.
There are so many love letters like from Arsenal fans who have just given up, and they don't look like they expect anything. Neither do I, to be honest.
You know what? All I'm looking forward to is Arsenal fan TV after this. I just want to see Arsenal fan Claude and the likes going at it.
All right, quickly, some PSL results. The one that matters. Last night, Kaiser Chiefs lost 1-0 to Jomo Cosmos.
What's happening with Steve Compella?
Safe to say Steve Compella is the LVG of the South African PSL. He's the Louis van Gaal. He flatters to deceive. So many promises, so many things about philosophies and how teams are supposed to play. But the fact is, Kaiser Chiefs are playing like shit.
They're terrible.
Kaiser Chiefs looks like a retirement village for 2010 World Cup stars. they are all washed. I mean, you can't simply still be relying on Simpiwe Tshabalala in 2016.
Even, I mean, that guy.
I mean, he's probably 35.
You scored that goal. You got the McDonald's contract. We get you, man. We get
the
you.
The fish and chips contract.
You got the fish and chips. You are doing well. But come on.
Come on, lads.
Let's change the team up. Let's switch it up. Maybe it's because of Mr. Rusike.
Let's Solonyane, all those guys. That's the old guard. I mean, Kaizer Chiefs.
Even Kune.
Kune looks like his real age now. He's like his football age
is
37. He looks 37 now.
Hey, no, man.
You can't come from being a 24-year-old in 2010 to looking like you've just been run over by a truck in 2018 and you're 50.
His performances have been like men's clinic. Full men's clinic. Anonymous. He's been anonymous in games. His performances have been limp. Like a man at men's clinic.
At men's clinic. Limp. And
I think we can safely say Kaizer Chiefs are in trouble.
Limp performances. Anyway, we need to move on to our theme of the week, which we are going to get into now. And we're just discussing match fixing.
A hot topic now in South Africa. Woo! It's fire.
Holy Ghost fire. Now, if you have not been reading the papers, you would not know that three former South African Football Association officials have been banned in connection with match-fixing allegations connected to friendlies before the 2010 Federation Internationale de Football Association World Cup. Leslie Sidibe was the SAFA chief executive officer at the time, and he has been found guilty of failing to disclose the issue, which means he knew, and for failing to cooperate. He has been banned for 5 years and fined for just over 300,000 rand. Yo, guys. 300,000.
This is, you know, that's probably paltry change compared to what Raj Perumal was giving these guys.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, a big thing we have to look at here, right, is remember we talked about how Perumal
is at the center.
He inserted himself he is the crux of this entire investigation. Mm. And he's now working with authorities to get guys, you know, with FIFA to actually expose guys. So he's snitching on everyone.
Yeah.
And what do SAFA have to do now? What happens now with the match fixing that's gone on? They knew about it, mm-hmm. and they got a referee to come in from this organization. What is it? I mean, Football International or something. Yes. It is basically some shelf company made by Raj Perumal.
Yeah.
And SAFA came in there. I mean, they paid these guys 250,000. I think it was 250,000 rand, or if not more, if it wasn't in dollars.
Yeah.
And I remember that the one quote where the referee actually went to the bank and he actually got money. He was getting money in a bag. He was getting money in a bag from Perumal to go deposit. And they even gave him Krugerrands as actually because he was depositing so much money in this branch. It was in Nelspruit.
In
Nelspruit. And they actually were like, you know, well done.
Who's from Nelspruit? We want to know.
Nelspruit people. We want to know. If your dad is the branch manager.
The branch manager.
We want to know.
The manager.
The manager.
Look, there have been many instances of match fixing, actually. And I remember we spoke about the Zimbabwean one.
Yeah.
From
AsiaGate.
The AsiaGate. Mm. Would you mind elaborating on AsiaGate there?
So essentially, a team. This is a very broad overview. The team that called themselves Zimbabwe, as a national team, went to play. Was it Thailand? Or Indonesia?
They played those
Indonesian sides, right?
Yeah.
But it was actually not a
national
side.
So this is in 2012.
It wasn't a national side, and they went in there and they got beaten by a number of Asian sides. But this was basically getting a Kaizer Chiefs, dressing them up
in national colors
and representing the country in a tournament that was organized by a match-fixing guy, Raj Perumal, once again. And the players went there and they were beaten.
Interestingly enough, some of the players who were involved in this match-fixing scandal were, I don't know, Ovidi Karuru, Jaim Jambo, who was at Kaizer Chiefs, Kama Biliat, who is lighting up the PSL right now, Willard Katsande, who is at Kaizer Chiefs, Thomas Weso, I think he was also at Kaizer Chiefs at some point, Edward Sadomba and Method Mwanjali. I think Mwanjali is at one of these other teams.
Is it Black Leopards or something like that?
I think so.
But do you think that there's an end to this? Do you think are we just scratching the surface? Because I think that we're in South Africa in itself, there are a lot of individuals who are, you know, involved in football, whether they are, it's a clandestine sort of organization that that's in within football. But this is not the end. There are more revelations to come out. This is nothing. And I think Safa has a massive house cleaning to do. Because FIFA's actually come in there. They've been tasked with coming out and finding the people responsible. And Sidibe, Leslie Sidibe is the one that got, that's been nabbed.
Yeah.
But do you think he's working by, was he working by himself? Well, obviously is he the scapegoat?
It's like a cabal. Imputist cabal of unrepentant and recalcitrant wrongdoers.
My God.
Yes.
We need a thesaurus.
Yes, yes, just yes.
To see what.
But my question is, so how does match fixing work? So is it really the betting syndicates that own, you know, that'll say, it's like if a boxer throws a fight and say, yeah, in the fifth round you go down.
I saw this diagram where they basically showed the betting syndicates in Asia.
Yeah.
And some of them are actually housed in like these big corporate like, you know, buildings.
Yeah.
And they have connections to sport across the world.
Yeah.
They will send out sales reps essentially to Italy. So they'll go to a third division side in Italy. They'll go to Zim. They'll go and they'll say, all right, we will give you 250,000 euros cash. Yeah. If you let in a goal.
Like, I mean, I remember reading that some of those Zimbabwean players got paid by like DVD players.
They got TVs. They TVs got flat screen TVs. And like $1,000.
I mean, for your national pride. Come on, guys.
I heard from a source who was a national team player at the time, who says that they were in a hotel room and a East European man came in and he said to them, I will offer you guys each a 50-inch TV. And $1,000 if you guys throw this game tomorrow.
Damn.
Two players walked out because they were international and they were quite, I mean, they didn't need the money.
Yeah.
The rest of the guys.
They stayed.
And they took the money. If you see photos from them coming back to the country, they had TVs, they had the $1,000. And I mean, for a player, you look at it, guys who are earning $50 a month playing Zim PSL football.
Yeah.
A TV and $1,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So essentially, these Asian betting syndicates, which aren't regulated, they are going to keep on doing this, and they are doing it. And I think we're going. This is just a scratching the surface in terms of what's going on within African football.
Yeah.
How do we fix it? What do you think?
I have no idea.
Do the organizations pay the players more? How do they protect them? Do they give them training? What happens?
I think you have to have tougher sanctions in how you regulate those betting syndicates in the first place. That's where the problem lies. Because that's where the money is. That's where you need to attack the money. Where people are making the money is where you go to the money and say, regulate this X, Y, Z like this. But the problem is FIFA are heavily involved in those betting syndicates.
So it comes full circle.
FIFA officials are heavily involved there because they're the ones who got the power to actually say, go and play these matches.
And also think, how do referees, right? How do they get to the referees? Should FIFA not be doing more?
Should they not be paying them more money?
No, exactly.
Definitely.
The integrity of FIFA is at stake. Surely they should be paying the refs more to say, I'm not going to take your bribe because I've got $10,000 already.
And it's always the heads of the football associations who are implicated. Because, I mean, for Zimbabwe, it was Henrietta Rushwaya.
Who was the lady? Mashingaidze.
Yeah, she was the head of FIFA at the time. And Zimbabwe Football Association, it's a real thing. It's a real thing.
We are.
It's not Zika, Duncan. It's Zifa.
Oh my God.
It's this guy. Xenophobic. Embarrassing. Bastard. Thunder Ignorance. Bastard. Always wearing Uzi. Anyway, that should be that for our theme of the week today. And we shall
tell now. Tell us, what do you guys think? Is there match fixing still going on? Are there games where you're sure you've seen match fixing in the PSL, in the NDL? We saw that game that South Africa played against Guatemala. And that penalty, that was... I mean, the guy got tackled outside the box. The ref gave a penalty. You know, are there games like that? What do you see? What have you seen? Send us an email. Send us a text. Call us.
Or send us nudes.
Start snitching, man.
Yeah.
Just start snitching.
Let us now move into our favorite test.
It's the worst English ever. Don't ever.
Our most favorite.
Edit that out.
Our most fire.
There we go.
Our most fire. Our most fire segment. The laundromat.
PSG.
Yes.
PSG win the league.
Yes.
9-0. this, I mean, this 4-0 goal, 4-0 to Zlatan. How can, is this allowed? Should
FIFA oh my not God. Be- oh no. Who was in the studio today?
Oh, what's happening? Mr. Matthews.
Sorry, Mr. John Matthews.
Oh, I'm coming from the south, man.
PSG going through, winning 9-0. They've won the league by 26,000 points. They basically, the PSG are playing by themselves in the French league.
All right, then we've got MK Don's midfielder banned from Cheltenham Festival after being caught urinating in a pint glass. Yes.
Samir Carruthers, come on, man.
Come on, guy.
Go
come
piss
on.
It in your urinal.
Is like he a wolf person. Or not?
He is
I think he's a wolf for not following the rules.
But why a fucking pint glass, bro? Why a pint glass?
Sammy Carruthers, who was caught by a photographer as he relieved himself
from
the
Fulham
pint
player.
Pot while surrounded by race goers. So it's basically like a race for rich white people.
Yeah, Cheltenham is this big racing.
Is it like the Met? Wait,
is that where Theo and his family go?
Well, the thoroughbreds go.
And then Barcelona are in the laundromat for this because Johan Niskens, if you remember him, is the one who did the fire penalty with... Johan Cruyff, the one that
former
Messi...
Former Sundowns coach, wasn't he?
He was sold by Barcelona because he refused to pass the club president a roll of toilet paper. That was why Barca sold him all those years ago, back in the 1970s.
Yeah, that's petty, though.
But that's petty, yeah.
Petty.
He was still 29 at the time, and he moved to New York Cosmos, where he played, of course, with Jomo Sono.
Jomo Sono, yeah. Yes. Jomo Sono, George Best.
George Best.
He didn't play as Cosmos, but he was in the MLS at the time.
In a new book entitled Barca Inédit or Barca Unpublished, it's alleged that Niskens was moved on by Barca president José Luis Núñez for the strangest and most petty of reasons. Basically, he didn't pass in the toilet paper. So what, were they in a stall together?
I don't know.
Were they taking... Because you know in China you can just shit everywhere and everyone can see.
What do you mean you shit?
Like the public toilets, there are no doors. Yeah, it's just open.
Why?
Why would they not have doors?
That's an invasion of privacy.
There are 1.3 billion people in China, guys.
You're telling me...
So, I mean, it's one wooden panel. What's that going to do?
It's like a wooden panel.
I can't
panel,
even shit
panel.
At work. Now I have to shit in public in front of fucking people going about their day, having coffee. Oh, hi, sorry. Could you pass me the toilet paper?
Do they at least like give you like a mask or something to put on your head?
You probably know? Have a mask. Just
so people are probably taking selfies while they're taking public dumps in China. This is probably a thing.
So if someone wanted to like...
And then like, we've got a real wolf here. Wolfsburg have allegedly fined Max Kruse.
Yeah.
After he accidentally left €75,000 with a taxi after a World Series poker tournament.
I think he probably didn't notice.
he probably didn't notice.
Like, he's probably like, shit, I'm sure I had something here.
That's probably like 1 week's
wages.
He's probably going to the strip club. It was all ones.
Yeah, and then Liverpool have messed up, according to fans anyway, online. Liverpool have ruined club merchandise forever. With a rubbish new line of Klopp crap.
Oh my Jesus.
What does it look like? I haven't seen it.
It's like a brown t-shirt.
Who makes
New Balance. Yeah.
They've got a brown t-shirt. Yeah, there we go.
This is Jürgen. Jürgen is passion. Jürgen is a believer. Jürgen is no more. Be like Jürgen.
Hey, my guy, if you haven't won the league
in 24 years, it's a tough life.
That's where Arsenal's going.
A big one.
Yeah.
Harry Houdini Redknapp. Also known as the Wheeler Dealer, a.k.a. the Pompey Boss.
A.k.a.
The man is going to be the director of football at Derby County. And he is going to bring in, guess who? Nico Kranjčar.
The God.
I'm
How
sure
many times will he sign
Nico
this?
Nico Kranjčar is the most solid. I don't know what Harry Redknapp loves about Nico Kranjčar. Pletikosa, bloody Jelavich.
I feel like Nico Kranjčar is like his illegitimate son or something. You know, he feels guilty.
Does he owe him something? What does he owe?
He has his nudes. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys remembered, we had a picture which we had on our Twitter feed like many, many moons ago about Dick Advocaat and Louis van Gaal posing with some beautiful ladies. I think it was for the Ajax and PSV Eindhoven derby back then.
Yeah. They were naked.
Godly.
And they were just... And they're just basically posing with naked women who were painted over in the colors of the...
I'm going to describe this photo. They're doing the rap squat. the squat that every rapper does after he signs a deal.
they look like they're about to drop a mixtape. Right?
Yeah.
It looks like a mixtape.
Yeah, they've got the mixtape squat.
And they've got naked bad bads.
This could be easily a mixtape cover.
Yeah, easily.
I think we should actually use that as our mixtape cover.
Yeah.
When we release ours, it's going to drop soon.
Anyway, that's all we've got for you guys on the Football Show today. It's been wonderful. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for listening. From myself, Theo Mojo, and Joao Matthews.
Yeah.
May the swag be with you. And I don't know, all boobs matter.
All boobs matter. Everything, even the.
And what else? We probably say more stuff than this. What do we say? Where's Nandi when you need her?
All boob matter. And be kind.
Be kind to strippers.
Venga out.
Venga out. Venga out. Yeah.
Venga in forever. He must stay there for 30 years.
No,
he must be buried. He must be buried there.
No, he must come to CAF.
He must go there.
Arsene Wenger must go there. He must come to CAF. Yeah.
We're not going to do it.
Yeah, no.
It's guys, a fucking disgrace.
It's been the Football Show. We love you and goodbye.
This is CliffCentral.com.